Well, as I said, it's always a joy and a pleasure to be here. And I love sharing God's word. Today, our Bible study is about 10 lepers. Remember that story? In Luke chapter 17. If you turn to Luke chapter 17, we will be looking at verses 11 through 19. It's a story about the 10 lepers. Now, you know, most people look at this story as about a parable. They look at it about giving thanks to God. And that's true, but today I want us to see it from a different perspective. You know, I have a box here today. And I think our story today is about a truth, a big truth, and a little truth. So this is a box that holds rings. And it's very inexpensive. So I want to show you a bigger truth. The bigger truth is my wife's diamond and this smaller truth, this smaller box. I think that this parable and this story is about that, about the bigger truth and the little truth, the bigger truth and the little package. You see, this is only, well, it's not worth that much, but this little ring that we have here, her diamond ring, is about 50 times more expensive than this box. So as we look at the parable today, we're going to see a bigger truth in a little truth. A bigger truth in a little box. My first point here today is this. What does this story mean to us in Luke chapter 17? Let's find out what the story means by interviewing these 10 lepers, you know, the 10 lepers that were healed. And by the way, this will be hypothetical. We want to interview them a year after they've been healed, and let's see what they say. So now we bring the 9 lepers before us, and we interview them. We'll save the 10th one for later. And we ask them, now remember, we're asking them hypothetically here. We ask the 9, what was the greatest day of your life? What was the greatest day of your life? And the 9 lepers answer this. They say, it was the day that I was cleansed, the day that I was cured from leprosy, that changed my life. You see, before that, I was ostracized off to the side. They would say, I was in a special colony. I would have to cry, unclean, unclean, every time I walked by somebody. I wasn't able to go to the temple, to the synagogue, be with friends, be with family members, or anything like that. I was sort of cast aside. And then I met Jesus, and he changed my life. I was an outcast. My life was completely dead. But you see, when I was cured of the leprosy, it changed my life. Because now I'm living in a nice home. People can come and visit me. I can go to the synagogue. I can go to the temple. So yes, the day I was cured from leprosy, that was the greatest day of my life. Really? We shall see. Let's go on. Before I interview the 10th leper who came back to give thanks to Jesus, and he was the only one, by the way, I want to talk about the background of Luke, the book of Luke, that precedes this so that we can get a bigger vision of the story before we interview the 10th leper. Now, people have asked me oftentimes, Jim, can you give a bullet point to the Gospels? If you were to sum up all of the Gospels, could you give a bullet point to the Gospels? Could you give a bullet point to the New Testament? Could you give a bullet point to the Old Testament? As I was thinking about this bullet point, I remember when I first became a Christian. I was a skeptical individual. I was always probing about truth and about life. I think I've told you this before, that I was into psychology and philosophy and existential thinking. I beat things to death to find the truth. And you know, as I was looking at the Bible, I was always looking to find some loopholes in the Bible. I was always a religious person, but I was a thinking individual. I saw a lot of things going on with the televangelists and all of that. A lot of things didn't make sense to me. And so I figured this had to be about fame. This whole religious thing was about fortune and about power. And of course, it's always about money, right? Money, money, money. So I read every chapter and every verse. I read it with a vengeance, looking for loopholes and looking for things that made sense to me. I was looking for things that maybe would prove this wrong. You know, I came to the understanding of thinking along the lines of Karl Marx, who said that religion is the opium of the people. Religion has drugged the people and made zombies out of them. That's what I thought, that people were walking around as zombies. So day in and day out, I read the Bible, and I was underlying just about every verse in the Bible and dissecting the Bible like a well-trained brain surgeon. I was dissecting every word in the Bible. And when I did all of that, the weeks and the months and the years went by, and I came to a conclusion that the Bible was all about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It was all about Jesus. And you know, it was kind of funny here, because it was not about a reigning Messiah. It wasn't about health, wealth, and prosperity. You know, that's what the Jewish people thought. That's why they crucified him. Because they thought that Jesus was going to come as a reigning Messiah to set them free from Roman oppression. When they did not see that happening, they saw a suffering Messiah. And so you saw them that Palm Sunday, they're laying palms at his feet as he was riding in on a donkey. Everything was great. Until they found out that he was not about being a reigning Messiah. It was about being a suffering Messiah. A week later, they decided to crucify him. They could identify more with Barabbas than they could with Jesus. But here's a Messiah now. He's coming, and he's a suffering Messiah. He is not anything that we would think that would be good for us. And so as we're looking at this, the suffering Messiah, he wanted us to surrender our lives, not prop our lives up. A Messiah called us to die to self in order to live. He was a Messiah who calls us to turn the other cheek. A Messiah that called us to love our enemies, not lambast them. Oh, that was so different than what we think, right? Well, I had just come back from Vietnam, and I was combat trained and tested, and I was accustomed to eliminating and killing enemies, not giving high fives and loving them. But I was reading the Gospels, and I was trying to find these loopholes. I was in awe of Jesus. I was in awe of the things that he said, the things that he did, and how he did them. Until finally, as I was searching the scriptures and searching myself, I had this dream one night. Everything seemed to be coming in on me. And I'm dreaming. And I'm thinking of myself on this ship. And the ship is sinking. And I'm holding on to the mast of the ship, which turned out to be Jesus, in this long white robe. And I'm on my knees, and I'm clinging to his legs and saying, "Jesus, please, I've tried everything else, and nothing seems to be working. Will you please, please save me and help me, Jesus? I don't know any other way, please." And I remember begging as a ship was going down, "Don't let me drown." And I cried out to him. And you know the verse that talks about all those who ask shall receive, those who seek will find, those who knock, the door will be opened unto them. Well, that happened to me. In April of 1977, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to me, came into my life as Lord and Savior as I cried out to Him. That was a remarkable time in my life. So friends, that is the bullet point. That is the bullet point of the gospel. The bullet point is Jesus Christ. If you don't see that, then you missed it. So now coming back to the 10 lepers, I figured that this must be about Jesus. See, a lot of people look at this as a parable, as a story, as an illustration of just giving thanks. And so this one leper comes back and gives thanks. So maybe it's about gratefulness. Maybe the Bible is trying to teach us about, you know, just being thankful for when people help us. But you know something? It goes a little bit deeper than that. So I want to give us this morning a jet tour of the book of Luke, choosing just a few of his miracles to make the point. Now, you don't have to track on all of these things here. I'll give you the verses, and maybe after Clayton fixes the sermons on the website, you can listen to it on the website. So just kind of go with me on this. So let me give you a jet tour of Luke. Let's go back to Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 8. And see the miracle of the fish with Peter. Remember that he was out all night and he was fishing. And he comes in the morning and he's very discouraged, and Jesus notices that and he says, Peter, what's the problem? Why are you so downcast? What happened? He said, Master, we've been out all night and we've been trying to fish and we've caught no fish at all. We're pretty discouraged. So Jesus turns around. He says, well, why don't you throw your net out there and see what happens? So they throw the net out and thousands of fish come into their net. And Peter now is astounded by all of this. Can't believe what's happening to him. He sees a miracle right in front of his eyes. And Simon Peter says this in Luke chapter 5, verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Now here, we get a glimpse of the Savior. You see, that's what being in the presence of Jesus does to you. Now Peter realizes that he's in the presence of God. He's in the presence of God. And he cries out, I'm unworthy. I'm a sinful man. So here in the book of Luke, we see it's about a man. We see it's about a mission. He's God in the flesh. Nobody bows down to just a mere mortal. You bow down to God and you see yourself as a sinner. That's God in the flesh that Peter began to recognize. And so the next miracle we see where Jesus touched and he cleansed a leper in Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 13. It says, while he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and he begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said, I will be clean. And immediately, the leprosy left him. You see, again, it's always about Jesus. It's about his power. It's about his mercy. It's about his grace. It's about his greatness. It's about his lordship. As the man fell with his face to the ground and he worshiped him. You don't worship a man, you worship God. He worshiped Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's about the man, Jesus Christ. And now we move along to Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. Now here we see a sinful woman. She's done a lot of things bad and immoral things and all of that. But now she sees Jesus now, and she drops to her knees and she begins to cry. And all of her tears now are falling on Jesus' feet. And so now she takes her hair and she begins to wipe the tears from his feet. And Jesus forgives her. In verse 47 of Luke chapter 7, Jesus says this. He says that the one who is forgiven much loves much. And at the end of verse 49, they say, well, people standing around are saying this, well, who is this man? Who is this man? They couldn't figure this out. Who is this man who forgives sin? He forgave this woman's sin. Who is this man? Only God can forgive sins. And so the whole thing is, who is this man? Who is this man? Who is this man? Now in Luke chapter 10, verse 24, Jesus said this, for I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. What's Jesus talking about? Jesus is talking about, you know, all of the prophets, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, all of them, all of the Old Testament is talking about me. These are the things that lead up to who I am. They're talking about me. You're reading about this in the Old Testament. But I, he says, am that Messiah, the one who has come to redeem the world from sin and the bondage of sin. I am the man. I am the man that the Old Testament talked about. I'm that man. And then as you come to the end of the chapter, chapter 10, in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, we see that famous story of Mary and Martha, you know? And we see what happens when Jesus walks into their home with his disciples. And Martha is running around doing all of these good things. She's cleaning the house, she's making food, all of that stuff. And what happens is Mary now is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And she's very attentive to what Jesus is saying. So in verse 42 of Luke chapter 10, Jesus says, Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. You know, coming from an Italian background, I don't think my mother would understand this. We're all about food, you see. If somebody comes into our home, we're going to put out there a five-course meal for that person. And that's what Martha was doing. She was running around getting the food ready and all of that stuff. And see, she just didn't get it. I don't think my mother would get it. I don't think many people in my family would get this. Yeah, but you need to get this. You need to get this. And you might say, well, get what? Get what? What am I supposed to get? You've often heard me talk about the good things in life, right? That sometimes the good becomes the enemy of the best. You heard me say that many times. Well, here we have an example of that. Now, Martha was doing a lot of good things. There's nothing wrong with what she was doing, but it wasn't the best thing. So you say, well, get what? What would my mother... and what would my family have to get to understand this? They'd have to get that Jesus. They'd have to get that Jesus. They'd have to get that Jesus is God in the flesh, who came to die for the sins of the world. He is everything, and he needs to be our Lord and Savior in everything that we do and everything that we say, because 2 Corinthians 5:9 says this, whether we live in this world or the world hereafter, our main goal in life is to please God. Everything we do is to please God. Everything else is secondary to that. Seek first God's kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's what it's all about. And see, Mary understood that, but Martha did not understand it. Martha was doing good things, but not the best things. And so our first point this morning here is, what does this story mean what talks about a bigger truth and a smaller truth. A bigger truth in a smaller box. Is it about being grateful for being healed from leprosy? Or does it mean something else here? Does it mean something else? So my second point is, the story points to a man. That man is Jesus Christ. He's a God-man. Now I want us to go back to Luke 17 here, a passage that we have, a passage of Scripture. And we come through all of this that we've heard in the book of Luke. It's all about who is this man? Who is this man? Who is this man? And they come to the conclusion that he is the Christ. He is the coming Messiah. He's God in the flesh. He's the King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's the Savior of the world. That's what they come to. Who is this man? And now we go back to the 10 lepers. And you remembered we had interviewed 9 of them. 9 of them. Remember, we asked them what the greatest day in their life was. And they said, it was the day I was cured or cleansed from leprosy. Because you see, it changed everything at that point. I didn't no longer have to go around saying I'm unclean, unclean, unclean. I had a nice house I could go to. My friends and family could come now to talk with me and see me. I can go into the synagogues. I can go into the temple. I can do all the things that normal people now do. I can do all the religious things required of me to do. But now, now we interview the 10th leper. And here's what he said. He said, the greatest day of my life was the day I met the man, Jesus Christ. The one who could not only cure and cleanse me from leprosy, but also I met the man who could forgive all of my sins. You see the difference? And he was at the feet of Jesus. He was at the feet of Jesus. And the 9 others were at the feet of the world. See the difference? They were at the feet of the world. And that, my friends, is the big truth in the small box. Because this story uses gratitude. It uses gratefulness as a secondary response from a man who was not only cured and cleansed, but was also completely healed. He was healed inside and out. He was saved. He was regenerated. He became a child of God that day, and leprosy became a secondary issue to knowing the man, God, Jesus Christ. Amen? Yes, he was grateful for his new health, but he was far more grateful for his new relationship with Jesus Christ, to his King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the Savior of the world. And let me just go out on a limb here to tell you this, that I believe that without Jesus Christ in your life, that none of us can even know what true gratefulness is. We think we do. Even the people in the world, they're grateful at times. I hate to even say this, coming from an Italian heritage, but even the mafia is grateful when their organization is successful. They're filled with power and fame, and their wealth is rising. So we see that people can be grateful for things, right? Some people are grateful when a baby is born. Some people are grateful when they look up and they see this changing seasons taking place, the winter, spring, summer, fall. Some people are grateful when they look up and they see the moon, they see the stars, they see the sun, they see all of these things. But if you don't know the God who created all of these things, then what kind of gratitude can they really know and experience. They're grateful, okay, but not the kind of gratefulness that you get from knowing God. The Bible says in 1 John 4:19, we love because He first loved us. You see, we don't even know how to love properly unless God loves us first. You see, showing love, showing gratitude, showing grace and showing mercy to others and even our God happens because of the man, Jesus Christ. So through the Apostle Paul now, he says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See, there is a newness of life that we have when we have Christ inside of us. And that newness in us, that newness in us should overflow out of our lives and compel us to show gratitude to God and to others because of what Christ has done for us. So that is the bigger truth in the smaller truth. The bigger truth in the smaller package. Now here's the question for all of you. Do you have the bigger truth in your life? Do you have the bigger truth in your life? Well, if you do, you should be growing and manifesting all of that good truth through a spirit of love, through a spirit of gratitude toward God and toward your neighbor. Have you been cured and cleansed? Or have you been completely healed? There's a big difference. Some people have a little tinge of religion, and they think, well, I'm cleansed, everything's okay. But I don't know, are you healed? Are you saved? Are you regenerated? Are you born again? Are you sanctified to live for Jesus Christ? Maybe some of you here have never made that profession of faith in Jesus Christ like I did in April of 1977, and maybe that's what you need to do. Maybe you're holding on to a mask here. Maybe you've got some dreams. Maybe you think that you were doing everything the right way, but you've come to find out that everything that you've done has fallen short. There's an emptiness inside of you. There's something missing inside of you that you need Christ in your life. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. So I bring in this last point for us today. What should our response to the man Jesus Christ be? Well, the tenth leper. Verse 15. Then when one of them, that is that tenth leper, when he saw that he was healed. Now this is important for us because I'm going to drive 3 points home to us from this. This is what he did. All of them were healed. They were all cleansed, but only one came back. Only one came back, this tenth leper. And it says, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. So, what should our response be to the man, Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the Savior, the Messiah, God in the flesh? What should our response be? Well, first of all, what this tenth leper did here, it says he glorified and praised God. Now notice it said with a loud voice, with a loud voice. I don't know if you're doing that. You're Christians, but are you praising God with a loud voice? That is, fulfilling the Great Commission to go out in all the world and preach the gospel to the lost, letting people know this truth and this hope that's inside of you with a loud voice, not just coming to church here and talking among each other, those people that are like-minded, but going out into the world, bringing your light into the darkness with a loud voice. That's what it says here. Glorified and praised God with a loud voice. He wanted the world to know the good news. It was God in the flesh who had healed him both physically and spiritually. I don't know if any of you feel that excitement still when God came into your life and touched you and you want the rest of the world to know that. Are you taking this outside the walls of this church like Matthew 28 has commanded us to go out into all the world and preach the gospel? Well, you should be. I try to do it on a daily basis through counseling, through my family, through whatever I do. I stand up. I stand up to bring light into the darkness in the world that we live in today. Not just read the newspapers and read about Parkland, Florida, and see things so negatively. No, I try to make a difference in the world. Then, second thing he did, he fell on his face at Jesus' feet. He worshiped him. You are my Lord, you are my Savior, now and forever. Now here's a big thing here. I wonder how many of you are just fans of Jesus rather than followers of Jesus. We got a lot of people. If I was to go out in the street and stop all the cars there, we find a lot of pro-Jesus people out there, but they're fans of Jesus, not followers of Jesus. There's a big difference. So ask yourself the question, are you a follower of Jesus or just a fan? I think he's a good guy. He's done a lot of good social things in this world. Maybe we ought to follow that. But he's the Savior of the world, and you can't follow that unless your sin nature is taken care of. You'll always be led astray. So he fell on his face at Jesus' feet. And then the last thing he did, he gave thanks to him. By the way, let me just tell you this. When he says he fell at his face and he worshiped him, I just want us to know this, that oftentimes we think that worship is right here in this church now. So Cal, you did a very great job in leading us in worship, and that's a great thing, right? But does it stop right here? Is this it? Is this we come here for 1 hour and worship God? Or is this a 24/7 thing? Where we're worshiping God in everything that we do, in our family, with our children, with our husbands, with our wives, with everybody else. Is that what we're doing, or is this just right here for this 1 hour? See, worship is a 24/7 thing. We're worshiping God all the time. We're giving worth to Him. That's what this is all about. And then he gives thanks to Him. He knew that only God could cure him, could cleanse him of his leprosy. So now he's giving thanks. And I wonder if you give thanks for everything that happens to you, it comes from God. So the 10th leper said this, yes. He says, yes, the Messiah had come, and I am not going to miss it like the others. There was 10 lepers who were all healed. But they kind of went their way. But he said, I am not going to miss this. That 10th leper said, no, I'm going to the one, this Jesus Christ. He is the one who abolished the religious ways. I'm going to the one who wants to have a personal relationship with me. And this is not about rituals and ceremonies and laws filled with do's and don'ts and all of that walking in your Christian walk like you are in a straitjacket. That's not what this is about. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. It's not about rules and regulations. It's about the grace of God working in you and through you. This 10th leper said, I want real life. I want it more abundantly through Jesus Christ and through Him alone. Seeking first His kingdom and righteousness, knowing all of these things will be added. That's what I want. That's what the 10th leper wanted. The rest of the guys just wanted to go and just kind of blend into the world, blend into their religious faith. And they went to the Pharisees and the scribes and all of those people and says, is this okay? Am I healed? And once they said, yes, you're healed, then they just kind of went right back into the old religious ways. And Jesus Christ was pushed aside. Only one went back to really praise Jesus and worship Him. So as we leave here, we think about, is it possible? Is it possible to have a real life and show gratitude and appreciation when you're going through the fires of life, the trials of life, the tribulations of life, when you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, when your past is terrible, you've got tremendous pain, your traditions, your experiences. Maybe you've experienced physical abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse. Your life is coming undone. Or maybe you got the sentence of death hanging over you with cancer and all of that. You know people who have. Let me ask you then, can you give gratitude? Can you be grateful for these kinds of things in the midst of all of that? Because the Bible says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, the word always means what? Always. So it is possible, isn't it? Now, you might not be happy because the Bible doesn't promise us happiness. It promises us joy. You can have joy in the midst of your trials. Happiness is dependent upon circumstances. But see, joy transcends circumstances, and it has to do with Jesus Christ. So the answer to all of this is you can walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and you can know gratitude, and you can be grateful because of Jesus Christ, you see, like that 10th leper. So I try to teach people in my counseling ministry how to live a biodegradable life. Biodegradable means if you took a piece of bread and threw it on the ground right now, it would actually over time go into the ground and nourish the ground because it gets recycled into the ground. And this whole world is biodegradable. God has made it that way. It recycles itself. I wonder if you can do that through Jesus Christ, to live a biodegradable life. As someone hands you a lemon and you turn lemonade into it. I know that it's true because the Bible says that. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord, those who are called according to His purpose. So I know it's true because the Bible says that all things work together for good. So that you could be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. I know it's possible. Not about happiness. Not about happiness. It's about joy. It's about joy. So we all want to live a biodegradable life, a recycled kind of a life. And you can do that when you go beyond just being cleansed and receive complete healing from Jesus Christ. And we can do that today. Each and every one of us go beyond just the cleansing and just kind of camp on the fact that Christ has healed us inside and out. And we've got that power inside of us. So that each and every one of us, when we leave here today, you don't just say, you know, I'm a fan of Jesus. I'm a big fan of Jesus. I'd like us to be able to say I'm a follower of Jesus. Because Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Let me tell you something. His commandments are not burdensome. They may seem so from your fleshly side. But when you do the things that God has called us to do, things begin to fall into place for you, whether you feel like it or not. That's why my favorite verse is John 13:17. After Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, he said to them, it's good that you know these things, but you're blessed when you do them. So let's do the things of God. Let's be like this 10th leper who went back not only to thank him, but also to be saved and experience the greater portion of what Jesus Christ, the man, can offer us. Okay? Let's not just be fans of Jesus. Let's be followers of Jesus. Let me pray that we can be so, okay? Heavenly Father, you are such a great God. We can't even comprehend this. It's so beyond us to think about you taking the form of flesh and coming into this world to die for each and every one of us, Lord. We can't understand it, but one thing we can do is we can accept it. So I pray for those who are here today that they accept this truth and they pass it on to others who are around them. And rather than to curse the darkness, Lord, they're lighting lights instead. They're making a difference in the world. I pray, Father, that this message, this day, this worship can change us today. We can leave here just walking a little higher than when we came in today. We pray, Father, that you just be with us with your power, your strength, your wisdom. Give us discernment, Lord. Give us grace to help in time of need. And help us to be like that tenth leper, ever grateful, worshiping you and living for you. Help us to do that in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.